My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It was a win on Sunday. Thank heavens. Let's welcome in Rodney McLeod into the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios, who takes us on this odyssey of the next hour. I said this yesterday. I said, man, it's going to be so much better not having to ask you a bunch of awkward questions about a punt return touchdown and having you have to answer those questions. And not, I don't think you were thinking about choking me, but I at the same time, like, I got to ask him. It's tough. How does it feel to go down there and get a win, week two? And Rodney, you remembered. I forgot. Like, week two last year was a disaster for multiple reasons. Nick Chubb, the loss, Pittsburgh, the whole thing. And then you guys went down there to Jacksonville. That's a team that has expectations going into this year. Now they're 0-2. And here you are 1-1. It's like, all right, you can breathe. You know you can win a game. You know you can play well as a football team.
Man, it felt amazing. I thought I was going to have a better welcome in this morning when I came into the station. Like, the energy. Like, where was the energy
Tone's
after the win?
Here. I'm sorry.
I love it.
And I lost my voice over the weekend, so I'm trying to keep it down low. I'm sorry.
Man.
I yelled over the Browns game.
You
I
want
yelled,
confetti when you walked in? No, not
confetti. We're going to save that. But I just expected
you make the playoffs,
more cheerful.
If you make the playoffs, you might get a pie in the face as you walk through the door. I don't know what you better be ready to expect something if you guys make the playoffs here. So take us through this game. It started off, really well offensively. Defensively, it was suffocating. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that Trevor Lawrence and their offense figured a few things out, but it was too little too late. Not to be critical, I thought it was a great defensive performance, but it seemed that they started to get a couple of things here and there, but immediately you guys were able to turn the faucet off.
Yeah, honestly, this was the definition of a team win. You know, you talked about the offense, the way they started out that game. The time of possession in that first half was in our favor. Things were clicking, moving. You know, we had a great balance of attack. And I think everything that we wanted to do, our objectives coming into that game really held true, you know, in that first half. And then, you know, for us defensively, the same thing. You know, you have special teams, just flying around, doing their job. The one play definitely crushed us on the penalty. But what a remarkable hit by the young rook to be able to deliver that blow and, you know, possibly set us up, you know, for another touchdown. But, at the end of the day, that was a great team win on the road. And you talked about, you know, week two last year, what that looked like. You know, we faced a division opponent in the Steelers, and we went on the road, and we fell short. And I think that really started our road shortcomings last year. And that was a point of emphasis going into this year. We know how good of a home team we were last year, but we failed miserably when we, you know, took our talents on the road. And so, you know, if we want to end up, you know, where we're seeking, we have to put it all together. You know, you have to, one, win your home games. And we know we fell short of that week one, but we have a great opportunity coming up this week to redeem ourselves and to get back on track. And I'm very confident that, you know, one, our fans are going to show up, and then two, we're going to give them the performance that they're all seeking. And then it felt good to just get a win on the road and remember, one, what it felt like to win, but then two, knowing that when we walk into that arena on the road, it's just us, man, and we have to come out, you know, lights out. You know, you talk about starting fast, but one thing that my safeties coach, Coach Bandy, talks about, starting clean. And I think we did that in all three phases of the game. We started clean, and that's what allowed us to get off to a good lead, get off to a good start, get into a rhythm, get into a flow. And like you said, I think, you know, we did enough so early that it was hard for them to really come back. And you know, they put up a fight, but at the end of the day, we closed the door, we sealed the victory, and we walked away with a win.
I have several questions about this, but I got to invite Lima in. Sorry, Tone, I didn't know if you were there or not. I didn't hear the fuzz. That's my fault, everybody. Anthony Lima here. Anthony Lima, Ken Carmen, Rodney McLeod, and the Smart Choice Windows and More Studios. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rodney, take us through the last two drives, because we as fans are sitting at home. And I'm not going to lie, we thought you had pretty much controlled the game, but all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence, somebody with his talent, you're thinking, you know, is this one that all of a sudden can get flipped upside down? After Corey pins him back, is it a realistic thought for your defense that you can pull off a safety?
Absolutely. We talk about that in our room often. You know, in backed up situations, you know, we want to score. And a score could, you know, look in a multitude of ways. But that safety, that was a huge play for us. You know, not only did it get us points, but then it also gave us the ball back in that situation. And that was all set up, again, by a great punt done by Corey. And then just an amazing play by Alex Wright. Good coverage in the back end, too. On that, and is rush and cover working hand in hand to create that outcome.
And then on the final drive, you know, my whole life, especially Browns fans, because we've been victimized by it, fans don't want to hear anything about a prevent defense. I don't even know if fans know what a prevent defense is or the mechanics behind it. What is Jim Schwartz directing you guys to do when you take the field for the last time? And does Stefanski say anything?
There's a lot of coaching points, and this is something that we go over on a weekly basis, you know, because games are won and lost, you know, as we saw on Sunday in our game, in these clutch situations. And, you know, that's something that we, you know, we pride ourselves on as being a great situational team. And so we don't take any of those moments lightly. You know, we go over a bunch of different scenarios and understanding the time at hand, how many timeouts, what's the scoreboard say, to be able to dictate, you know, for us as a defense, you know, what we're going to line up in, what personnel grouping are we going to put out there in order to defend whatever situation occurs. And so for us, you know, the main things are obviously as a defense, you don't want any penalties late in the game, right, to give them either another opportunity at, you know, a shot at the end zone or give them better field position. You want to play clean football. You want to eliminate explosives. And then at the end of the day, you know, when you have a situation where the ball's up in the air, you know, the guys who are designated to attack the ball, get the ball down, and, you know, let's just walk out of there with a win.
Rodney McLeod joining us here on the show. So it's I think it's difficult. It's kind of been like it's underrated. Like, oh, they weren't very good on the road last year, the Browns were. You guys were much better on the road this year. Do you still feel like everybody's getting their bearings? Offense, defense, special teams, everything within the regular season?
Absolutely. You know, this is week two, and we don't have it all together. You know, we're still developing. We're still a growing a team. You know, there's a lot of teachable moments that that happen in that game. You know, we don't have it yet, and that's fine because no team does at this point. You know, I think you've seen the overreaction and underreaction from a lot from week one to week two. A lot of teams are 2-0 that nobody anticipated, and there's a great deal of teams who look like Super Bowl contenders maybe week one, and they come back and look like non-playoff teams in week two. And that's the way the league works. And I think everybody right now is still on the verge of discovering their identity and who they truly are, understanding what works, what doesn't work, what pieces we actually have. And then some teams are also in tough situations with injuries, right? And so for us, we just have to take things, you know, one week at a time, and live on those, you know, those core values, you know, that we have set out for ourselves. But just take things one week at a time and make sure that we come to work, we reset, and then we do what we need to do to ensure that we win in this upcoming Sunday at home.
Rodney, in the first half, it certainly seems like you guys flummoxed Trevor Lawrence in that offense. Mm-hmm. He was struggling mightily, and a lot of you guys in the secondary were letting them know about it. There was a lot of dancing. There was talking, and I saw some jawing with Brian Thomas back and forth with members of your secondary. Is it something that you guys take pride in? Do you try to get under the skin? Are you trying to mess with them, you know, in their psyche? And do you see, can you tell when that stuff actually does start to work?
Yeah, it's a point of emphasis for us this week. You know, we know how contagious that energy can be. And that only happens when we do one thing, when we're making plays. And in order to make plays, you have to execute at a high rate. And so I think that's what you saw was, you know, us making those plays that we're accustomed to making, and putting ourselves in the best position possible. And then when we did it, you know, we celebrate and we're going to let you know about it. And that really just carries over through not only the defense, but the entire team to the point where, again, you want to make the next play because you want to hit the celly and do all those things with your guys. And, yeah, it does have an effect on the opponent. I know last year Jim told us that there were several coaches whose point of emphasis going into every week was don't allow them to celebrate, right? Do everything possible to not allow them to overwhelm us with just like their energy and passion, because that's what gets them, you know, going. And it's just interesting to hear that as a player. But we know that's our livelihood right there. And that's where we live. That's where we love to live, is making plays, celebrating when we do it, and then line up, reset, do it all over again. And set the pace for this team.
Was there some exchange? Somebody tweeted about an exchange between either you or somebody on the defense with Trevor Lawrence in the third quarter. Was there anything like that? I'm just asking from what a fan asked. Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't recall that at all. I didn't personally experience anything with Trevor Lawrence in that game, and I don't remember overhearing anybody talking about it. Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't have it in my notes. I didn't see anything. So I'm just asking. I didn't know.
Yeah, mystery.
I'd like to.
Ken, he's not going to rub it in. He's not going to rub it in.
Well, I just want to stir it up if I possibly can, but there's nothing to stir up. All right. What is the. So Jamar Chase was upset, losing his mind during the Chiefs game. Some people having questions about why What goes through a player's mind? Was there a conversation? Because Joe Mixon was upset about the hip drop tackling rule. There's rumors swirling. What is your whole feelings about the hip drop tackling?
I think we talked about this on our last segment. But you know, it's hard to police that sort of tackle in the moment. I feel with the speed of the game, you know, things are moving as quickly as they are. You have to look at so many variables within that tackle to be able to for it to be defined as a hip drop tackle. I don't know. Again, I know why it was created, you know, to try and prevent some of these more serious injuries from occurring. But I think it's just hard to actually get them to penalize a defender like myself in the moment, because most of the time it's just so hard to identify.
Yeah.
And I think you know, I brought the point up that a lot of it is going to happen on the back end rather than in the moment. So yeah, you might not see it called in the game, but then on the back end they're going to review every single game and there's going to be a finable offense for that act.
Do you think the penalties and fines work? Because in like week one, I saw you're nodding your head. Yes, week one, I saw Lamar Jackson just give himself up, and he took off towards the sidelines, and the Chiefs defensive backs were like, okay, like not coming after you. It's second down. And that ended up being, I think, a field goal to bring the Ravens back within a touchdown. And then we obviously know about the end of the game. You think the penalties and the fines actually do work change in changing the way the game's played?
It does. It drastically has changed the way the game is played, because you talked about it. Either it puts your team in a bad situation, right, through a penalty, or now, as a player, you're losing money, right? And we're talking about not a small bit of change here. We're talking about a good amount. And, you know, it only continues to increase as if you're fined on multiple occasions. So, yes, it has affected the game in a multitude of ways. And I think it also messes with you as a defender mentally. You know, in that moment, we just react, you know, and now you're also forcing a lot of, you know, mental variations to happen on one play. Do I hit him because, you know, it's going to put my team in a bad situation, or do I hit him because I'm going to get fined? Like, what do I do in this moment? And then you create that moment of hesitation, which can lead to possible more yardage to set a team up for the game-winning field goal or the go-ahead score. So, and the good teams know that. The good offensive players know that, right? Like a quarterback like Lamar Jackson knows, okay, like this guy, I see him letting up. Guess what? I'm going to try to extend the play, get my team just a few more yards, which can be the difference. I saw last night watching Jalen Hurts, you know, scramble countless times. And I think it was a play with Jesse Bates where he had the ability to make the tackle, but you see him kind of let up, giving himself up as in, I'm going to let the quarterback kind of gracefully go out of bounds. And then Jalen Hurts cuts back, and now he gains an additional two for a first down.
Yeah.
Rodney McLeod in studio. I'm not, by the way. Just curious, when it comes to players and their money, I know it's something you guys don't necessarily want to dwell on, but as fans, I mean, it looks to us that Ja'Marr Chase, who's been trying to get that big contract, is out there and losing his composure. We're wondering, could some of it be the distraction of having to worry about a contract and being in a stalemate with his organization? Have you ever known a player on the teams you played for? You don't obviously have to give specifics, but can it mess with a player? Do you know examples where that absolutely has maybe impacted a player and how they're showing up on game days?
Yeah, I just wanted to first say,
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You know, they gave me your seat today.
Which is weird because I usually am staring dead on, but I'm checking what Lima wants to mention in the messenger, so I'm like looking off into the screens and messing some things up. But go ahead, Rodney.
I think that's how it works. I feel like I belong the rest of the year.
I feel like I belong today. You know, they gave me your seat. It's an honor and privilege
to be
sitting.
You're running your own mic and everything. I'm not doing any of that stuff today. Yeah. It's a great.
No, we
and he listened
you.
To
we
all my youth football stories during the break. Every single
he
syllable.
Didn't even complain about
didn't
him,
complain
Anthony.
A word.
Rodney, they'll never get old, I promise.
Nah, man. Hope you get better. But
he's fine. He's fine.
No, but honestly, yes. I think what has unfolded over the course of the summer for, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and that team. Has put them in this weird space, especially, you know, for Ja'Marr. Like, he's fighting for a contract, which I believe he deserves, right? He's proven himself over the course of his young career. And, you know, you're seeing your other peers, you know, be rewarded in the way that they should. And to me, like, it's no-brainer, right? But, yes, what I think is happening is it's now becoming a distraction. It's now lingering into the season where I don't know if they're getting his full commitment because he doesn't have that guarantee on the back end of, if I go out here and do all the things that I've done for you over the few years that I've been here, what's going to happen, you know, if I go out and I injure myself, right, on any play? Because we know in this game there's a great chance, there's a 99% chance you're going to get injured in some capacity. And, you know, for him, I think he's suffering between do I give all of myself and will I get what I desire, or will something devastating happen where that's going to affect my money and they're going to use that now against me when I go to the table? So it's frustrating, but I think this was something that they should have avoided before it got to the regular season, because, you know, at this point in time, I don't know, you know, what they can really do to resolve the issue other than pay him.
All right, I need to ask you about this because the Jets aren't on the schedule here. Have you paid attention at all to the Hassan Reddick stuff?
Yeah, I think it pops up every single day.
As close to an opinion as you can get. I don't know how comfortable you are talking about that, because it looks like he's costing himself just millions.
Yeah.
And the Jets aren't a team that I see making the playoffs, so it's like, it's not like Chris Jones where you can make up a lot of that on the back end. I don't know what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't either. And at this point, it seems like there's a stalemate. And, you know, typically when you get into this point of the year, you know, their money is a lot longer than ours as players. So, and I'm not sure how much grace they're going to have for him if this does get resolved where he won't have to pay, you know, those fines at all. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think we're all waiting.
I don't understand how you trade for a guy and then don't sign him, knowing that the reason that they traded him to you in the first place was contract.
Yeah, I don't. It's bizarre. It's bizarre, but there's some reason behind it. I don't know. It just hasn't hit the. It hasn't come out yet.
Back to football stuff. Can you explain? So there's a conversation that we had with John Greco a little bit earlier, former Cleveland Brown lineman, where, you know, too high safety. There's a theory that that's affecting the passing game. Passing touchdowns are way down through 2 weeks. I mean, almost half of what they were in 2020 and 2021 here, just over half of what they were in 2020 and 2021. And Lima has heard that there's been bandied about thoughts of too high safety. And I don't know, my thought is this guy's been beating too high safety since before I was born. So can you give me any sort of intel on that or any sort of insight on that?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the defenses out there, man. We're limiting the points, and everybody's wondering why. But no, honestly, I think there's a great deal of teams that are now converting over to the too high looks, and I think it's more to prevent the explosives, right, that can occur when you play a lot of single high. And sometimes, again, personnel dictates, you know, what you tend to call defensively. But, you know, when you think of the traditional too high, there's different variations. There's your cover two, of course. There's cover four. And none of these things are new, to your point. These things have been around since I was playing at the age of six. But I think it creates just a little indecision of the quarterback, because and let's be real, like, teams are starting in too high, but that doesn't mean the final pitcher is also too high. There's a disguise component built in, and where you have now, are they going to remain in that too high look, or are they going to rock down in some sort of single high coverage or not? But I think that creates like an additional indecision for the quarterback. It creates hesitation on whether or not you want to throw those deep passes. And, you know, ultimately you do get a lot of checkdowns, and now where your team has to be good in open field, right? Because those things can still become explosives as is. So you kind of pick your poison. You know, do you want to be a too high team where, hey, they're going to check the ball down a lot, and I got to rely on my underneath defenders to be great tacklers, or do I want to challenge and play single high, maybe apply more pressure than I can and live with the results if they do decide to throw it 50 yards down the field?
I mean, it's some of the dinking and dunking that you're seeing around the league. Could it simply just be that these offensive coordinators, these play callers, are panicked that they can't protect their quarterbacks given how monstrously good some of these pass rushers are showing up week in, week out all over the NFL?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes, we want to see the flashy, explosive plays, right? Like, you want to see the ball travel in the air, and quarterbacks love that feeling. And you have certain quarterbacks that aren't as patient as others, right? And it gets them in trouble, right? They want the big play. They talk about the big play. And when the big play is not happening as often as you would like, there's a bit of frustration that's created. Or they don't believe in checking the ball down. Like Tom Brady, those guys, he's going to take whatever the defense gives me. I'm happy with it. And when you have that mindset, not many have that mindset, and that's why not many are Tom Brady, as we all know. But again, can you remain patient enough throughout the game? And that's the game that we're all playing. I think as a defensive coordinator, you're saying, I don't believe this quarterback has the patience. He's going to want to take a gamble, and when he gambles, we're going to make him pay, right? Or he's going to force the deep throw so much that he's not going to see anything else, and that's going to give our pass rush time to be able to become effective.
So is that maybe more of the waiting game that you just said, like they're losing patience? Is that kind of what you guys are banking on as defenses, and that you guys are going to get opportunities for turnovers?
Yeah, I mean, I think we play a different style of defense, under Jim Schwartz. That's evident. And, we are, on probably the opposite side in a small pool of defenses that play primarily single high because we believe in our pass rush. We believe in our corners and that they'll do their job effectively enough for us to win. And that's a tough world to live in on a high rate. But yes, I believe, to the point that I made is, yeah, defense that play a too high style of scheme is going to really rely on the quarterback not being willing to take what we've given him enough, and he's going to get greedy, and we're going to make him pay for it over time. And at the end of the day, if a team has to methodically go down the field and get 10 and 5 and 10, how long is a team – like, teams don't want to do that.
Yeah. They want to take chunks. They want explosive plays.
Yeah, that's – the ball travels faster, in the air. And mm-hmm. So what you also risk, though, you do risk giving up the run game, right? That is a factor. Because okay. I feel like I saw that last night a lot. Those teams play too high, and the run was very effective. And so as a play caller, are you able to now kind of switch things up and take the ball out of your quarterback's hand and rely on the run game to create some of those explosive plays? Because there were great chunks that were created on the ground last night from Saquon Barkley to Bijan Robinson, clocking 10 yards a pop.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we have a clip from yesterday. A teammate of Rodney's, Jerome Ford, the running back for the Browns. Now, Ford, talking about the experience of Jameis Winston setting up plays for the Browns offense, saying you may not know what to expect when it's number 5.
Great leader, man. We make a joke that when he called in plays, it sounded like he got a surprise to tell. But, he makes sure that he says the play clearly. He said slow and loud, and we all able to hear. And, he get the job done.
Okay, Rodney, do you have a thought on this?
J-Mo, hey, I love that guy. He's two lockers down from mine. He's very always positive, very inspirational, as we always know. But he is theatrical. So I see what Rome is probably talking about when he comes in to the huddle. And, like, Demise is looking at you, and he's giving the call. But you love his spirit, his energy. I didn't know, you see – all of the videos and about eating the W and just everything that that he represents. And then when it's actually in the locker room, you're like, wow, like this guy is this every single day. And I've respected and appreciate him as one of the leaders on our team.
Rodney, so we got to get ready for the Giants, and I will do that here in a second. I wanted to run this by you. I'm noticing, though, there are a lot of situations. Again, I think there's still – I hate it because we're all playing for keeps. There's guys who people are already calling for their jobs. However, it's still – people are trying to get a feel for the season here. There's an extra game. I think that takes it even longer here. You know, I want to talk about identity. What's the identity? But also, I'm noticing a lot of games. You mentioned the running game before. I'm seeing a lot to a little. Like, one guy will bust off for, like, 147 yards in a game, and the other one has, like, 34. Mm. And it just seems to be so lopsided one way or the other. I mean, you brought up last night. That was a good example against that. But there was a lot of stuff like, man, this guy popped off for 133, and then you barely could get anything going on the other side. I'm just seeing one game after another, it feels like that, with those run games.
Yeah. I think, you know, you said it. Teams are trying to put the pieces together on what their offense or defense or special teams is going to look like. Like, who do we want to be is the key. And the teams that can discover that the quickest and stay true to that normally are the teams that wind up, you know, the final two at the end. And so I think that's what we're all seeking at this point, is consistency and identity. And so those things are going to continue to unfold over the course of these, you know, next few weeks. I'm hoping that we are one of those teams that really discovers, like, ourselves and continues to live up to exactly who, you know, we claim to be and decide to be, in order, you know, for us to you know, walk away with this division and go as far as we believe we can.
Yeah.
Rodney, coming out of the break, I don't know if you caught the fan that we played on the radio where he was talking about all the penalties. Browns do lead the NFL in penalties, mm-hmm. I think, with 24 or 25. They're five ahead of, I think, Baltimore. So with that said, is that a coach's issue? Or is it a player's issue?
Yeah, that's a team issue. But at the end of the day,
well, it's got to be one. We do radio here. It's got to be one, Rodney.
Oh yeah. No. At the end of the day, I was getting to my second point. At the end of the day, that is a player ownership, right? Like we are the ones that line up, that bring all the plays to life. And we hold a responsibility to ensure that we do our job and we don't hurt the team. And we understand, you know, where we need to be and how we need to do it. And so all those things live in that world. And that was something that we did address, you know, yesterday as a team. We confronted it literally in a team setting where we saw all of our penalties to date, offense, defense, special teams, and it was one of those things where, hey, like, we're going to confront it and we're going to talk about how these sort of acts will only hurt us, right? Like these penalties don't make us better, and we're making the game so much harder than it needs to be. And the game's already hard enough, and the margin of error is so small. And so for us to continue to put ourselves in negative situations, you know, if we continue at this rate, you know, we're not going to win many games. And so we have to fix it as players. And so I'm confident that we will get things back in order, and we won't have these self-inflicting wounds, you know, that will hinder us from going, you know, as far as we want.
Have you seen the Giants yet?
Yeah, I took a look at them last night.
What do they look like?
I see a team that, you know, at this point offensively is very protective. conscious, and they have a lot of matchup situations. They're doing a lot to limit Daniel Jones from making mistakes, right? And mistakes will you know, hurt you at the end of the day, limiting his opportunity to turn the ball over. I see a good runner in Devin Singletary. He had a lot of great runs. He's going to be a factor. And they're also getting Daniel Jones into the run game too, which, you know, we have to pay great attention to as well. So I think they're going to do very similar to what I saw them do to the Commanders. They're going to be in a lot of max-up protections. They're going to get Neighbors the ball, force him the ball as much as they can, and try to minimize the turnovers.
Rodney, next Tuesday. You have a good day today, all right?
Yes, sir.
Rodney McLeod.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.